How all could be different now, now that my heart's been found. Nothing really feels the same. I hold my head a bit higher, I lift my voice a bit louder. Yeah, something inside has changed. I am a mountain mover, water walker, more than just an overcomer. 'Cause I've been set free. I am a gospel preacher, heart on fire, freedom singer, testifier. 'Cause I've been good Monday morning, everybody. This is CA, your on-air personality, your biblical teacher, and your independent clergy. And let's not once and never forget this, your friend as always. How's everybody doing? I'm here this morning at Faith Studio One, the iHeartRadio studio, here in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. Yes, indeed, we're up top the tower. And today, we haven't done it in a while, is Coffee Talk with CA. So just wanted to give you some highlight real quick of what we're going to be talking about here in just a minute. But before I do, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or you have a prayer request, feel free, you can email me here at the studio or anytime, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, like me on my Facebook page, friends, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. I'd certainly appreciate that. Well, let me give you a short highlight. My son got married about 3 days ago. He's doing well. They had a great marriage, so now I have a daughter-in-law. It's a brand new beginning for me, even at age 55, fixing to be 56. So I'm very happy for them. They're off on their honeymoon. So very big congratulations to Cody and Christina Hall. I really love you guys. I really appreciate you and many, 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 many years of decades in life of love and happiness, right? Everybody should be happy. All right. Something kind of zapped me on Sunday night after I got through doing our Sunday morning praise that morning at the studio. And I wanted to talk about, what does the Garden of Eden reveal about God's plan for redemption? So let's talk about it a little bit. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Chapter 2 and verse 8, Scripture simply says, "And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, There he will put the man who he had formed. Now, friends, if you look at this, in the opening pages of Scripture, we find a garden, don't we? The Garden of Eden, planted by God himself, inhabited by the first human beings. The Garden of Eden not only introduces us to God's interactions with mankind, his most special creation, but it also sets the stage for great redemptive arc that stretches throughout Scripture and ends in the closing pages of the book of Revelations. So you're like, probably one of the questions people ask is, C.A., what does the Garden of Eden mean? Well, the Hebrew word Eden is connected to the concept of delight or happiness. Even today, the story of the Garden of Eden has made the term synonymous with paradise, bliss, and perfection. Although some scholars believe that Eden is a metaphorical or autical concept meant to convey the origin of creation, it appears that the biblical author was referring to the literal geographic location due to very specific deceptors of its surrounding. So when we further study in the book of Genesis, let's go now in Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. We read that a water flowed out of Eden to the water, the garden. And there it divided and became five rivers. Did you know that? If you didn't know that, go back to Genesis and highlight or even reread chapter 2, verses 10 and 14. It was called the Phishon, the Gannon, and the Tidus. And I'm going to try to get this last pronunciation right, friends. It's the Ephesus. Now, these verses mention lands and geographical locations that feature surroundings of these four rivers flowing out of the Garden of Eden. Although today, you probably aren't familiar with these names, the Phishon and the Galilean River. Chances are you've heard of the Tigris and the Ephesus, which I have, and these are the two rivers that actually still exist today. And you may want to Google it up and take a look at it, or even search it on YouTube. Even if these rivers don't follow the same course they did back in the book of Genesis, the region mentioned and the connection with the rivers indicate that the Garden of Eden was most likely located somewhere in the fertile crescent of Mesopotamia or the modern day of Iraq, Kuwait, or even Syria. So the next question that comes to mind is, well, what happened to the Garden of Eden? Well, we all know what happened. After God planted the Garden of Eden, he filled it with the variation of fruit imaginable. In fact, you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 9, he placed Adam there to work it and keep it. Also, you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15, and gave him only one command. You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat that, you will surely die. Go to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and read verses 16 and 17. Now, the Bible never says that God placed his specific tree, the specific tree in the garden, or how he gave the knowledge of good and evil. But one thing is clear. It was not meant for Adam to eat from. As Genesis' account continues, God created the first woman for the side of Adam so that he could have a helper fit for him. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. Adam and Eve joined even a sinless environment. Spirit with a perfect beauty and personal relationship with the Creator. Here, the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect, wasn't it? That is, until you go to Genesis chapter 3, when Satan, in the form of a serpent, like I had talked about a few days ago, the serpent does not specifically talk about a snake. I've seen drawings of snakes. Satan came as a serpent. It is not clarified what kind of serpent it was. It was just some kind of a serpent. When Satan was in the form of this serpent, he approached Eve and challenged the one command that God had given him. Through his descent, Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, while Adam passively looked on and ultimately partook it as well. Now, the Bible says that their eyes were open, and they were immediately ashamed. although once enjoyed the perfect fellowship with God, they now found themselves hidden from them because of their rebellion. You see, friends, God drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the Sheberan and the flaming sword that turned every way to guard them to the way to the tree of life. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. You can catch on that. Now, Eden had not been lost and humanity had not been purged in the curse of sin. But one thing I want to keep you in mind is how the Garden of Eden account relates to our salvation. Okay? The story that began in Eden doesn't end in Genesis chapter 3, as we well know. The garden, in fact, sets the stage for God's cosmetic plan for redemption. In fact, if you go to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we see the goodness in the creation and a perfect relationship between God and man, only to have the curse of sin purged not only mankind, but all the creation into the fertility and decay. Following the fall of Adam and Eve, we see sin tainted in everything, right? As we flip through the pages of our Bible, we read about these betrayals, the murders, the hatred, the enmity, the mankind in rebellion against the Creator, in addition, creation itself, that is placed under the curse. And we still see that today, don't we, friends? But in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, God declares to Adam, "Curse is the ground because of you." In fact, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, God's good creation exemplified the beauty of the Garden of Eden. It began to groan. Because it was at this moment that the stage was set for God's grand plan of redemption to restore what had been lost by the curse of sin. In fact, if you also go on, and I'm going through a lot of scripture, the book of Genesis chapter 3, these are on my biblical notes, verse 15. God points toward a future hope. "To the serpent, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between you and the offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Now, although sin had entered into the world, God points toward a future redeemer who would ultimately crush the head of the serpent, defeating death forever. So let's talk about the anticipated redeemer to crush the serpent. Marching on to the New Testament, the rest of the Old Testament continues to set that stage for this redeemer, anticipating his arrival. In the opening pages of the New Testament, we meet Jesus Christ, God in flesh, right? Highlight Luke chapter 3, verses 23 and 28. It traces the human geometry through Joseph's line. And at the end of the geometry, we learn the connection to the Garden of Eden. The final links of this geological chain end with the son of Enos and the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God, if you read verse 38 on that. Here we see the connection to the garden. Here we find the seed who would crush the head of the serpent and restore all things. In fact, friends, if you read the book of Hebrews, highlight chapter 2, short scripture 14 and 15. Throughout Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, salvation and redemption are offered to all, and the guarantee of future restoration is established. You see, friends, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, had to come to undo what was done, if you read that whole book of Genesis, chapter 3. So let's briefly talk about a vision of this ultimate restoration of creation. But the story doesn't end here with Jesus' victory over the grave as we get closer with Easter around the corner. Every day, believe it or not, let me stop here on my biblical notes. Every day is a celebration of what God did for us, sending his son Jesus Christ to die on this cross for my sins and your sins and everybody's sins all across the world. So when the story doesn't end with Jesus' victory over the grave, there's more to the story. Although salvation from sin has been provided by Christ, the restoration of creation is yet to happen. Now let's go to the Romans Road part in the book of Romans chapter 8, short scripture verses on 22 and 23. Brief highlight on that. That describes this beautify. For the creation was subject to fertility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from bondage to corruption and attain the freedom of the glory of God, or the children of God. For we know the whole creation has been growing together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoptions as sons, the redemptions of our bodies. You see, the garden is yet to be restored. But as we turn to the final chapters of the Bible, we see the end of the story, the conclusion of the grand arc of the redemption that began in the first three chapters of Genesis. Go back to the book of Revelations, read the whole book of Revelations, chapter 21. You'll see that the Apostle Paul is given a vision of God's plan for the future. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth has passed away. It's in verse 1. See, the goodness of the creation that was lost in the Garden of Eden will be restored. If you go on to Revelations 21, you read verses 3 and 4, it continues to say, "And as I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is the man. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away." You see, friends, the perfect relationship between God and man that lost in the Garden of Eden will be restored. Marching on in verse 5, we read those comforting thoughts from Jesus himself. "And he who has seated on the throne before, behold, I am making all things new." Let me tell you something, the garden will be restored. So let's talk a little bit shortly about this new garden. Remember the river that ran through Eden? Remember the tree in the midst of the garden? Now look at the words in Revelations chapter 22, scripture verses 1 through 3. The end of the story. "Then the angel showed me the river of life, bright as crystal flowing from the throne of God and Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its each month, the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations no longer will be anything accursed. The garden will be restored. What was made wrong will soon be made right. Everything will be made new." So my concluding thoughts on this, on Coffee Talk with CA on a Monday, friends, is today we find ourselves between two gardens, don't we? The curse of sin that is all around us, which is can be challengeable for a Christian that has accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, because it's not an easy road to be a Christian. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be yelled at. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be made fun. But always made fun of, I should say. But always remember, you, me, the ones that have accepted Jesus Christ, the believers, we all are a child of the Almighty God. We see wickedness, friends, of others and the wickedness of our own hearts. We see the decay of creation and the chaos all around us, don't we? We still see that today with Ukraine and Russia. And God bless the Ukrainians. We're going to be praying for them here in a little bit. But in all this confusion, let us take comfort in the fact that the story hasn't finished yet. God is on the throne, and he will one day execute the perfect judgment on sin. He will one day restore all things, and all those who believe in Jesus Christ can enjoy once again a perfect relationship with the Creator of the universe. One day, God's creation will surpass the beauty of that first garden nestled in ancient Mesopotamia, and all things will be made new. In the words of the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, get a chance to read that. although we may groan inwardly, let us wait eagerly for that. Because remember, in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But you know what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So, on my concluding thoughts before I play a song, you're probably thinking, well, CA, what in the world? I mean, wow, you're talking about the Garden of Eden. Yes. Well, why are you speaking on that? Because have you turned, and I'm not always watching the TV, have you turned on the TV? Have you seen the chaos? Are you starting to see some things that are going on in the world? Things that have been going on, but like they're getting worse. Let me share something with you. I picked up a lot of listeners from Ukraine. I don't even know how they can even get internet service, but you know what? God will make a way when there seems to be no way. And he did for the Ukrainians. Yes, they are. The Russians are making movement. Yes, there's been a lot of toll of loss of life. But I really do see the hands of God doing some movements. Now, I don't know the outcome because I'm not God and I don't want to play God. I'm just his child. But what I will tell you is I'm going to keep praying for the President Zelensky and the people down there. It breaks my heart to see the little children that have perished, the parents that have perished, people not even able to go back to their homes because it's blown up. Horrible, isn't it? But one thing we should know is that the mighty hand of God, that this is his world, and that he is in full control, and he's definitely not done yet. He don't want us to predict when this world's going to come to an end, but one day it'll come. So I put all my faith, hope, and trust in the Lord. So your answer would be probably, why am I bringing up the Garden of Eden? Because that's where sin first began. If you think about it, before I play this last song, earth was going to be the heaven. When Adam was by himself and he sent a helpmate and he sent Eve and they were enjoying life together. But God reminded both Adam and Adam told Eve, do not eat from that tree of life. What did she do? Serpent. And again, we don't specify snake or we don't know. It was a serpent and the devil, conniving devil, Lucifer, right? He was conning her and encouraging her to eat from the tree of life. She did. Sin kicked in on her. Adam felt the temptation. She kind of got encouraged to him. He ate it. They were naked and ashamed. Then the sin kicks in. Now, if we even go back even further, you're probably like, well, how did the devil... I've had people ask me, how did this Lucifer... Well, let me give you a little brief history on Lucifer, okay? I will before we play this song. Sure will. Lucifer was an angel. In fact, they talk about very briefly about him that he was a beautiful angel. He was a kind of a high up angel, probably close to Michael. Although Lucifer got a little power hungry. Lucifer wanted to be God. He turned against God. God said, "There's only one God." Gave him the boot. Went down to earth. You see, that's where your choice has to be. Are you going to reject Christ or are you going to accept Christ? Me, almost 50 years ago, I accepted Christ into my life. Now, I haven't had a perfect road. I'll promise you that. I've done a lot of great things, but good deeds ain't going to get you to heaven. It's, do you have him in your heart? Does he live in you? Do you believe in him? Simple childlike faith coming to your Father. I'm proud to say I'm a child of God. And that's what we do on our network. Encourage. And if we can help lead someone to the Lord, even one person, that's a blessing to me. You see, I've talked about before, each one wins one. It's like a domino effect. When you tell someone you're planting a seed, when that other person tells them they're planting a seed, it keeps growing and growing and growing. There's going to be more people going to hell, as scripture reminds us, than going to heaven. So what's our job, Christians? Brothers and sisters in Christ, you can't force somebody down to an altar at a church or force a religion down their throat. But you can tell them, and you can pray that the Holy Spirit will work on them, right? By the simple words of admitting you're a sinner. Because we all are, just like Adam and Eve. But also asking God for forgiveness. Coming to Him, saying, God, just forgive me of my sins. Everything I've ever done. Cleanse my heart, I pray. And believe, you come to Him with childlike faith. Example. God, I know you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and He died on the cross for my sins. And I believe on the third day that He resurrected and He's alive and well. Please enter in me. I accept you as my personal Savior. And I believe in you. Come into my heart. And then thirdly, after you accept Him, Lord, I know it's not going to be an easy road. I know I've got friends and people that I know at church maybe, or neighbors. And I know you'll guide and you'll help me be the best Christian for my family, friends, whatever it may be. I just want to follow you. I want to pick up my staff and follow you. That's all you got to do. Simple as ABC. Accept, believe, confess. And then it's welcome to the kingdom. Just think. Hard to imagine. Forever and ever. You know, you may think earth is, it's okay, right? You're enjoying it. But one day you're going to be up there with Him. You're going to have Him. He's got a mansion. The ones that accept Him, He's got a mansion made for you already. Come into His kingdom. Worshiping Him. Bowing down before Him. Even the non-believers, they're going to have to bow down before Him. There's only one God, and that's our Father God up there, and He loves you. When you're down and out, He's right there. And when you don't think He's working behind the scenes, He is. Keep believing and keep trusting in Him. Okay, on closeout, we're going to play a Toby Mac song called Promised Land.
This clock, the hours roll, they never stop, and I can't ever seem to get ahead. Always trying to do what's right, straight and narrow's getting tight. Don't know how much longer I can stand, and I'm wondering, yeah, I'm wondering, where's my promise, man?
And you are God, you are our promised land, and we thank you for all you do. That was T-Mac's song. It was only out, that album, well, that particular song, that single song that he had sent me, has only been out no more than 3 months, and it's made a big-time hit. We don't play it as much as we need to, but we do play a lot of Toby Mac and other artists, too, as well. All right, well, I hope what I teached on reached you and touched you, and feel free to share my podcast anytime. Guys, I can't tell you enough. Spread the word out to people. Tell them about us. We picked up a lot of listeners. To my Ukrainian friends out there that are picking me up, we're praying for you, and we're fixing to pray for you right now for God's total protection on you. Okay? So let's lead off in prayer on a Monday. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you watch over God and protect us. Be with us. We pray for our Ukrainian friends out there for your total hands of protection on Ukraine and protect the people. Thank you for the many listeners, the emails that we're getting from these listeners. Thank you, God. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for touching my heart and letting me touch others by being the instrument and being the arms and feet for you and reaching others, because that's what our goal is at our radio station. And God, I just pray we have a great week. Protect us, we pray. And protect our troops out there too as well. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, gang, this is CA on the iHeartRadio studio here at Faith Studio 1 in beautiful downtown Fort Worth, the tower where I'm located. It's going to be a rainy day today out here in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. It's getting real cloudy, humid, hot, that's for sure. Want you to remember that the sun does rise on the other side. I also want you to enjoy life. LIFE! Until we meet again, y'all have a great day. Bye for now.